Chapter 128. I, for one, cannot believe what's happening, and am in urgent and dire need of something to top me off. Am I alone in this?
No,
Cassandra and Bull say, and Bull pulls out a flask that, well, in any normal person's hands, it would be more of a skin, but for him, it's just a flask. He takes a gulp and hands it to Cassandra, who takes a concerning long draught, and then holds it out to Dorian. The entire time, she looks like murder. Llewellyn, in the meantime, is yelling at the sky. Dorian doesn't even blame her. "Want a drink, love?" Dorian calls out to her, taking a hesitant sip from the flask before coughing. "What is that?" "Does it matter?" Cassandra deadpans. "It does the job." He's willing to bet it's paint thinner. Stolen paint thinner. Or something. Bull grins at him and looks like he's internally screaming for someone to come and put an end to his life. Llewellyn, in the meantime, is still screaming at the sky, throwing in some colorful new expletive she could have only learned from the chargers. She kicks a rock. "I hate this desert," she screams. "I am lost and I am tired and I have been attacked by random things that see me a mile off and then come find me and won't go away. And there are rifts and Venatori everywhere and sand. There is sand. I don't do sand." Followed by some inarticulate screaming that ends with the elf throwing a broken part of a Venatori staff as far as possible like a spear.
"Ah!"
At least we know she's real now. No one can ever be that happy to go to the middle of nowhere so often, Dorian says. Cassandra grinds her teeth. Dorian feels her doing it from 2 feet away. Dorian says nothing and takes a deeper drink from the flask. Bull hums.
"Probably should stop her from overexerting herself."
"After this," Cassandra says, stomping over the sand. Because sand doesn't allow one to walk normally, not when you're wearing how many pounds of armor, and are dressed in leather, next to Llewellyn and screaming with her.
"We should probably stop them from alerting the entire desert that we're here," Bull says.
"Are you going to do it? Because I'm not." "This is probably the best present she's ever gotten from you," Dorian says. "Or anyone, if I'm being honest." Vivian hums, waving her fingers at the Inquisitor, who's still laughing and exclaiming over said present and running around with excitement because underneath that stern and sometimes respectable facade is a little ball of bouncing light, similar to a ball made of fiber, the kind you bounce around as a child. "Where did you get it?" "Does it matter where, as long as she's pleased?" Dorian titters. "Getting soft, Defer. As if the entire hold hasn't seen you carrying her to bed, or trailing after her with things to eat, and helping her with all of her little assignments. That's different. Everyone knows I'm her favorite." "Debatable, if you've seen the way she treats that stag of hers." "Hush! I'm her favorite of things that walk on two legs." Dorian waves a hand, ignoring the way Vivian hums behind her teacup. "But you've been strict and about as warm as an ice wall to her since you summoned her to your abode, Defer. This is out of character." Vivian raises an eyebrow. "Is it truly?" Llewellyn cackles, and she's gotten a baby deer. He has no idea how Vivian did it, but she's gotten her hands on a soft little fawn with spots and a little button nose and everything. The deer, in the true fashion of every living creature that wasn't affected by lyrium, the blight, or any other disease or magic, became attached to her the moment the two met eyes, and is prancing around her with complete joy and admiration. "Is it going to stay that small forever?" because Dorian is well aware of the strange fascination with making miniature species of things that exist in various courts around the world. When he was living in Minrathus, they were working on miniature dracolisks, and the deer is rather small. "Don't be ridiculous," Vivian says. "Of course she'll grow bigger. In this time of crisis, one cannot afford to have such a small and hapless animal in a building of war and business. Though I suppose a miniature deer would be nice to get her once all of this is over, and things are set to rights." "Spoiling her? Giving her an unexpected surprise in order to remind her that her efforts are not as thankless as they would seem," Vivian corrects. "Spoiling her," Dorian hums. "I've never thought about it until now," Varric says, "but it suddenly occurs to me that I need to introduce this kid to some people from Kirkwall."
"No," Cullen says, and Bull looks between the two of them.
"No. They'd have a great time," Varric says, ignoring the increasingly loud and urgent protests Cullen is trying to interrupt him with, going as far as to attempt to physically shut Varric up by covering his face. Varric ignores these attempts.
"No, because Cassandra would kill you, and if not, I might do it on accident," Cullen says. "You and your friends from Kirkwall could give anyone ulcers."
Bull hums.
"Sounds like they'd get along with my boys."
"Right, it'd be a party."
"Kill me now and spare me this torture," Cullen groans into his hands.
"I mean, you've got Dalish and we've got Merrill. Probably have a lot to talk about. And then there's Broody. He'd get along with Grimm and Krem just fine. Aveline seems like she'd get along with the rest of them just fine, too. I mean, did you see the Inquisitor's face when she saw Hawk's dog? Can you imagine her face if she met any of the other guys?"
"Can you imagine Cassandra's face if she met any of the others?" Cullen says.
"You bet I can, and it's novel-worthy," Varric says. "Entire epics!"
"Well, now you have to invite them over sometime," Bull says, "when things aren't going to shit and stuff, just so I can meet them and see this epic-worthy face of the Seekers."